Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're going to be closing out our examination of 1 John today. I hope we've looked at it in its entirety, verse by verse by verse. In the last few episodes, we've backed up and just looked chapter at a time to make sure that we've caught the big picture of what's going on. And the fifth chapter is really important because it's drawing things to conclusion. Remember what is said in the 13th verse of the fifth chapter of 1 John. John said this, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life." So he's writing to those who are true believers. There are some people who had been part of their religious experience that had done some things with them, but apparently had walked away, apparently were going and doing their own thing now and saying some stuff. We talked about that in the last episode in relationship to what was becoming known as Gnosticism. And he's saying, no, I'm not writing to them, because what you see in his fifth chapter is they're not true believers. He said, but I'm writing to those who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you know that you have eternal life. To know is a really, really important thing within this fifth chapter right here. It's reiterated several times. He begins the fifth chapter by saying, whoever believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. So he's building on this thing of loving God, loving one another. And he said, by this, second verse, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and when we observe or keep his commandments. How do we know that we love the children of God? Well, we love God and we keep his commandments. What's his commandments? To love one another, okay? To keep his commandments. And then he declares in the third verse that these commandments are not burdensome. They're not a burdensome. They're not a hard work to be done. There's something to abide in and to walk in. And then in verse 4, he tells us even more about it. He said, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. We have the victory. And then he declares it point blank, our faith. Our faith is what brings forth the victory. Our faith is what releases the overcoming the world thing, okay? It's our faith. What is faith? Faith is belief. Faith is believing that Jesus is the Son of God and that God will do what he says he will do. And he says in the fifth verse, he says, so what overcomes the world? Who overcomes the world? The one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Then in verses 6, 7, 8, we have an interesting little phrase. I'm going to a series of phrases that I want to read out of the King James, because the King James has a really extended understanding of this that the contemporary versions just delete. Now, I know there's reasons for it, particularly in verse 7. I know there's translation reasons why they do it, but I think it's not the best thing. So here's what it says in the Authorized Version beginning in verse 6. This is he who came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. So he's declaring that Jesus Christ is the one that came by water, by blood. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. So we've already seen, and he reiterates again later, that the Spirit is within those who believe. Now, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. So there's a testimony being born in heaven, and we're going to see in verse 8, there's a testimony born on earth. What are these three? Who are these three? The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. So these are the three that bear record in heaven. Then verse 8, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. These three agree in one. So I think it's really important for us to dwell upon that and meditate upon that and to see what the Lord may be revealing to us about that. Now, in verse 9, he says, if we receive the testimony of men, then God, the testimony of God is far greater concerning his Son. And he says, the one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar. So if you believe God, the testimony dwells within yourself, the Holy Spirit. If you don't believe God, then you're saying that God is a liar and you don't have that testimony. And that's what was happening with some people who were professing to be believers, but they truly weren't. We have the same thing today, folks. A lot of times they're in the pulpits, okay? And you say, are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. Okay, I'm not. I wish I were kidding you, but I'm not kidding you at all. They say one thing, they profess something, they do all this kind of stuff. But when you see the disconnect between what is said and deeds and actions, it becomes rather clear. So what is the testimony he's talking about? Verse 11, he says it point blank. The testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. That is the testimony. So if you have the Son, you have life. If you do not have the Son, you do not have light. It is that simple. And we have confidence in that which we have before him because of this, because of who we are, because of the fact that he's in us. Such confidence, even to the point that he starts talking about, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we've covered this in previous episodes. You'll remember that the idea behind this is that which we are asking, we're asking because we know it's the will of God and it's what the Lord has revealed to us as his mind. So if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we made before him. So that's when he's driving home this know thing, that we know that we can know. And then he talked briefly about there being a sin that leads to death. Okay, there's a sin that leads to death. And this is greatly debated among scholars and academia as to exactly what this means. Does it mean that, is it speaking of the fact that if you die in your sin, that you're going to be condemned forever and ever? I think there's an element of that. There's no doubt. Okay? Does it mean that there may be sins in the life of the true believer? Because remember, he's writing the true believers. Are there sins in true believers' life that the Lord will take them home early because of it? In other words, they refuse and repent. I think that occurs too. And in that verse 16, he says, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin, not leading to death, he can intercede before God on behalf of him, and God will start addressing some things. But if you see a sin leading to death, I do not say that you make a request for this. But the idea is that it says brother. So if you see your brother like this, that's fine. But is the one with the sin leading to death a brother or not a brother? Again, this is up for debate. Okay. The bottom line is this, verse 17, it said, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. And then he says, no, again, verse 18, we know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. So he's saying Jesus is the one who keeps us. Jesus is the one who watches over us and takes care of us and protects us in salvation. Doesn't mean that the evil one can't kill us. No, he absolutely can. But he will not steal our salvation. Then verse 19 again, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him. So we know that we can know him, know the Father through the Son, who is true, and we are in him, who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So the Father, the Son, the Spirit are the true God, our true eternal life. And it's only by being in them that we will have life everlasting before them in their presence. Then the last verse of the chapter said, little children, guard yourself from idols, which nearly seems like a flippant throwaway line, but really is a great synopsis of anything. Don't be distracted by anything that is not of the Most High God. Guard yourself. What is an idol? An idol is anything, anything which receives greater attention in your life than the Most High God. Guard yourself from that. Quite often, things he blesses us with, we can turn around into idols. Don't do that. Well, again, thank you so much. I've enjoyed this time going through 1 John. We'll start the next episode with something new. I'm thinking we may do Hebrews. We'll see, okay? Again, I'm Dale. I'll see you next time.